Hello, everyone. Hope everything's going well. It's Tyler. Today, I want to talk about something that's, I think, really interesting to obviously me, but to a lot of people. And we're continuing to see the use of it and the growth of, well, I got right here, I've got 23andMe. This is the little package where you can get both your ancestry and your health through some DNA sampling. You put your little spit in a kit. I haven't actually opened this up. I did open up the plastic part because I didn't want you to see me struggle with that, but I did want to check out quickly what was inside here. Very nice. Hi, let's get started. Everything feels really clean. The whole branding and everything that they've done with a lot of these packages is all really sweet and kind. It sort of reminds me of candy back when you were a kid and how enticing everything looks. So not too much in there. This is the kit. You can see I'm spitting this baby here. We send it in, I think 8 weeks or so. Actually comes back and you get a pretty massive report on both your ancestry and then also your health. And even more than that, you actually get a kit of like basically your results in raw data as well too. And so I haven't looked as much into that, but apparently on top of Ancestry.com and 23andMe and a couple of these other platforms and services, there are actually some companies that do more of the raw data. So you can actually plug your data in and get even more insights out of that than these other programs will give you. And so really interesting time that we have the ability to do this. We are in a very early stage in it. And so it was just a couple of things that I wanted to talk about in terms of it today. Just looking at a couple of the, you know, looking at 23andMe, looking at a couple of competitors, and then maybe some of the issues around this as well too. And I have an intern in the office right now. I fell victim. This was an Amazon Prime falling victim to. And I've been thinking about it for a long time because we don't know that much about my family really on both sides. And so it's quite a mystery, you know, really a lot of the background of our family. And that's something that I think increasingly people want to know as we look forward to the future. So many people are wanting to understand where they came from, what their history is, what their genealogy is, what part of the world they came from, because there's so much you can understand and really bring into your life if you know where you came from. And so there's definitely a drive for this right now. I think the piece of the storytelling of being able to tell yourself stories of who your ancestors were, I think is really enticing. And so there's no question that this, you know, there's a reason why they've become so popular. And of course, with the technology now, it's made it easier than ever. And I think over time, and obviously what they claim as well too, the more data they get, the more human, you know, genes they get, the ancestry and different connections, especially on ancestry and the ones where you're trying to build your family tree, the more accurate these tests are going to be. So I just wanted to pull up over here. I think I'm going to pop up in the corner here. Just wanted to take a look at some of the site and everything as well here too. This is not an ad for 23andMe, but I just wanted to look at the stuff and sort of just have a, you know, just think about it, touch a couple things, look at a couple things on it and really go through it, look at a couple of the competitors and just talk about some of the things around it. And so Health and Ancestry Services is the one I got. It was on sale at Amazon. This gives you both sides important to, like, throughout the whole thing, they're very, very clear that everything is, you know, fun and easy and nice to do. Looking at the different, you know, types of chromosomes, the 23 pairs of chromosomes, one unique you. There's a ton of like data, and really whole thing seems really cool. And the fact that it's just saliva, you just have to spit into it. I think is obviously really lowers the barrier to entry for people who maybe were going to have to get blood samples or anything in the past as well too. And so obviously there's some really cool benefits about doing this. Just pull up the How It Works page here quickly to see. Yeah, just saliva, no blood. Order, spit. Look, we got the pop-up coming up here already. Spit and discover. So yeah, approximately 6 to 8 weeks, they will send you an email to let you know your reports are online. So you can actually then go in, check out the reports, and really get a ton of access. And so I've done a little bit of research into everything that people get back. I've watched, you know, a couple of those reaction videos for people who are, you know, actually getting their results. And it's pretty cool to see a lot of excitement. And you know, it does seem to be some really valuable stuff that you can get. Especially, I am interested in seeing this health side. There's some health problems in my family, and some of them are, like I said, you don't know the people. There's sort of mysteries, and so hopefully we get some you know, some decent positive results back on that. But that's, you know, it's part of you know, part of doing this test. And I think this is where one of the first really interesting sort of things comes up, of the idea of, you know, does learning this stuff, you know, say I do this test and I get, you know, Tyler, you have, you know, this gene that puts you at a higher predisposition to cancer. What effects do that come out of your life once you know that information? And so the same thing, you know, people who go to, you know, not a storyteller, but, you know, a future teller, or, you know, like they're trying to get a little bit insights on their future. And just because that person says something about your future, then you start to fulfill that and fulfill that prophecy. So that's a really interesting little piece that I'm interested in, this whole thing, and to see and wonder how many people have felt that way, how many people have gotten results that they were really surprised at. And obviously, ones that have been either maybe negative or positive. And we're increasingly, again, seeing more of this stuff. One of the really funny things that I saw was there's a TV show, and I'm trying to think of it at the off the top of the head right now. But what they do is they go back and actually explore like celebrities' genealogy and all this stuff. And so they had an episode of it with Larry David on, who had actually been playing Bernie Sanders on Saturday Night Live, and they actually did the test and found out that Larry David and Bernie Sanders were related. And so there's, you know, it was just one of those hilarious moments and coincidences, and you really start to see, you know, how possible some of these connections are and just how intricate your family history can be. And so a couple things that I wanted to just look at. What does your DNA, what can it say about your health? Ancestry, genetic health risk, wellness, carrier status, and then traits. How accurate are the reports? Say they meet standards, and to say 23andMe is what they claim is that it meets standards for clinical and scientific validity. When I was doing this, you know, picking on which one to actually use, really, well, I guess obviously part of it came down to price, like most decisions. But from seeing the reviews, especially for looking at the health piece, 23andMe is a really good option. If you're looking to do more of the family tree building and ancestry, then you want to go for more. I think my family DNA, ancestry, and I had a couple other ones here too. My Heritage, which is, I think, is a pretty decent one as well too. 23andMe, though, one thing I think is crazy is that it was founded by what's her name here? It's Kate. The company was founded by, Linda Avey, Paul Kuzina, and then Ann Wojcicki in 2006 to provide genetic testing and interpretation to individual consumers. In 2007, Google invested $3.9 million into the company. And the girl here, Ann Wojcicki, probably butchering that name, she was actually married to the Google co-founder, Sergey Brin, at that time. And so Sergey Brin is obviously a legend and one of the founders of Google's. It's really interesting to see the support. Obviously, you know, the marriage helped in that. But for a company that we obviously talk a ton about the ramifications of privacy, being Google, to see that there's such a close connection between 23andMe and Google is a little bit alarming there. So, you know, the question, of course, always is what are the priorities of the companies who are, you know, the people who are in charge of these companies? What do they see moving forward? And of course, there's a ton of, you know, text on the site to make you at least believe and try to feel safe about where your data is going. But one of the things that we've seen and continue to see is that there may be risks associated with doing this, and where, you know, you can lose your password online and you can change your password and sort of replace your security level. If your raw DNA genetic code is online, and really it's code, with the right person, the right technology, and the right knowledge, someone can get a ton of information from that code there, saying that you can basically predict the face, the shape of someone's face, and even some facial qualities based on it. And I'm going to pull up here in a second, but it's also being used in some law enforcement stuff as well too. So a couple things that are interesting to see, just going back to the accurate, rigorous quality standards, they say, genetic health risk and care status reports meets criteria for scientifically and clinically valid. So they're definitely trying to get to a level of being more scientifically valid and safe. And ancestry percentages are derived from a powerful, well-tested system that provides you with ancestry estimates down to the 0.1%. So what I've seen from doing a ton of reading is that there are people who believe that there are, you know, some pretty big inconsistencies and inaccuracies in the reports that they're getting. And if you go to, you know, for example, Ancestry, and then you go to 23andMe, then you go to another one and do all the tests, you're going to get some pretty wide responses or wide results for what you're getting and across those different kinds of packages. And so another thing to maybe be a little bit alarmed of, and it's one of those things, like, I'm looking at my results, I'm going to take them with a grain of salt, because I don't want to base any information or really my life around stuff that might not be true, or something that is in, you know, that they just don't have enough information on. And I think that's a really scary thing. Obviously, I'm interested in the stuff, but it does seem like we're so early in this, so there definitely seems to be a couple things that you want to be hesitant about. And so obviously your privacy is our priority. You are in control, it says. You choose how your personal genetic information is used and shared. And they said, we will not share your individual data with your without your explicit consent. So this is a big piece, that you should have to basically give explicit consent before any of the information goes out. And of course, too, we'll not provide your information or results to employers or health insurance and companies. And so this is something that people have already been talking about, the idea that if you are, you know, at risk, or you have something in your genetics that can put you at a higher risk for a disease, then an insurance company will be less likely to insure you. And so there's obviously some consequences of that. And if insurance companies could freely access this data, that could be a dangerous thing for a lot of consumers who are actually trying to access insurance at a fair rate. So there are all these things to come and think of about something that seems so fun that you spit in and you get all these results of, like, how many pieces that we need to think about. So a couple other things here, just how it works. Of course, we talked about it. Saliva is taken, it's extracted, the DNA is extracted from the saliva and amplified, so there's enough to be genotyped. It's cut into small pieces, applied to a glass microarray chip, and then now it's that microarray chip has many microscopic beads applied to its surface. Each bead has a probe on it that matches the DNA of the many variants the companies test for. If the sample has a match in the microarray, the sequences will hybridize. Well, these are big words, are bind together, letting research know that this variant is present in the customer's genome by a fluorescent label located on the probes. So tens of thousands of variants are tested out of the 10 to the 30 million located in the entire genome, compiled in a report, supplied to the consumer, allowing them to know the variants associated with certain diseases such as Parkinson's, celiacs, Alzheimer's are present in their own genome. And so definitely a ton of information there, some words that are too big for me and some diseases that I really don't want to hear about. But again, it is good to know that stuff. And, you know, the hope is that as we get more accurate over time here, that these results can actually help us make better decisions for ourselves and for our health. And if we are, you know, at risk for something, we can make the shifts in our lives to live a good life and be healthy, and at least try to have the best life possible if these diseases are going to have an impact on it. So I just wanted to pull up a couple things. This was a story that came out, actually, I believe, yeah, July 26th, which is yesterday. So Canada is using Ancestry DNA websites to help it deport people. So this is Vice News. Vice News is obviously maybe a little bit alarmist and clickbaity and trying to drive some traffic sometimes. So hopefully it's not too much of fear-mongering, but they're talking about a man who's had, some problems with the law, who says he's Liberian, but the government is trying to prove he's Nigerian. And so they've actually been like reaching out through Ancestry.com. They're using this and like talking to different relatives, trying to determine where he, you know, where he came from, where they need to basically deport him back because of the problems that he's having with the law enforcement as well too. And so like he's been back and forth, and this process has gone on for a long time. And it's really interesting to hear how this DNA testing has now become part of obviously law enforcement, but then this massive sort of immigration debate that's going on and raging, you know, more down in the States right now, but is a very popular topic here in Canada as well too. So you know, obviously a ton about, you know, trying to collect the privacy, but it's pretty crazy to now see that law enforcement and government have the ability to access this stuff. And this is something that I think, you know, people need to worry about. And the, you know, the intern in my office here made the joke of, Tyler, I hope you're not going to kill anyone in the next 10 years. But this is the question, right? If there's a crime, if it's a petty crime, or if you're a suspect, are they now able to dig deep into your DNA, into your ancestry? And it really gets to that area of privacy where I think that worries a lot of people, and rightfully so. And again, I think it comes back to, yes, being able to change a password, being able to get a new email, get a new credit card, debit card, but you can't change the DNA sequence that you have in your body. And so there are definitely some ramifications of sending this. You can see all the, you know, companies that they're talking about here. Family Tree and DNA does not work directly with Canadian law enforcement, has no knowledge of Canadian law enforcement's using the platform. Like all of these, you know, like denials and just lack of, you know, just lack of paying attention by these companies. Of course, they're going to say this, even though it might not necessarily be true. And so, you know, we have to be worried, especially when we are, you know, in a mindset of, you know, this is capitalism. They are trying to drive as much profits as they possibly can. And the amount of data and how valuable that data is that these companies are collecting and collecting willfully from consumers is pretty damn crazy. And so just a couple other things I had. I'm going to post all these links in the below the video and podcast as I always do, but a couple other pieces here. Obviously tests aren't as accurate as they claim to be, and we're hearing a ton of stories about that. And you see different markers that they're using. A bunch of people who took three tests get massive different ones, and they really don't even have that much to say about that. They might tweak results to avoid pissing people off. I don't know about this, but you know, they say let's stick that 0 point. So if something unnecessary, like people who are pissed off because they aren't as Dutch as they expected to be, and they're actually like modifying results. So really, you know, the power that they have, it's almost similar to, you know, another debate that's going on about the voter poll booths right now, and having backdoor, you know, having access to that, but then backdoor openings into it, and actually being able to make changes to the data without really any ramifications or the consumers or obviously the voters knowing. And so we're seeing that on a pretty delicate scale here with DNA. Really easy to mess up the tests. Obviously, we talked about this. Blood, semen, use saliva, and apparently there's a bunch of people who have sent in the kits, haven't got the results back, and then they've had to ask and do another test as well too, because they problems with the sample or whatever. That screw with racist. This is obviously one of the sort of funny ramifications. I'm fine with this ramification. If you are a racist person and then you get your DNA test and you have, you know, the race that you were hating against in your genes, I think you deserve that. I think that is hilarious. That doesn't seem like a problem to me, but I'm sure there are some people who aren't too happy about it. And I'm reading here, you can see in the article, that they might, you know, get a pissed off, dangerous person in their office, you know, and maybe if they believe that result is inaccurate, we might have some problems there as well too. Obviously, uncover hidden family secrets. There was one, I believe, and I don't want to butcher this as well too, but it was either you know, a Japanese or a Korean person, and they, or a Chinese person, and they don't want to mix their races. And so that's a big piece of what they were doing, at least for this person's case. And then they found out that in their heritage that there was a mixed race, and obviously that wasn't great for their family, and really showed sort of an uncovered family secret secret that no one really wanted to know about. So definitely some shocking things that come to this. I'm hoping again that this isn't something that I'm going to see. And then lastly, people like demand that they forged a result. So I don't know what this was, but people want you to, like, they don't want the results that they get. And people are, you know, sometimes when people get facts thrown in the face and they don't have control over those facts, we're seeing this right now a lot. That's not necessarily the best thing for people's mental health and stability sometimes. So we're going to see as more and more people use these. And I think, again, it becomes one of those things where, you know, it's that fear of missing out. It's that thing that you want to know. As more and more people use it, it gets more trustworthy. As long as there's not, you know, a big Equifax breach or something like that, which, you know, to me, it's only a ticking time bomb that something like that is going to happen. People are going to want the access to this. And, you know, we've got no small amount of, you know, tech savvy hacking people who are, you know, very willing to cause some problems, even by doing this. We've got the troll hackers, and this is something I could easily see them going after and trying to release as well too. And so I just had a couple articles here. Don't think I had too much else to talk about this today, but just something I think is really, really interesting. I obviously got mine. I have, like, you know, you've got that you get that sort of Amazon Prime, you get that exciting, call to action from Amazon, and you know, you really want, as a people, I think that we want to know this information so much, but we have to think about the consequences of it as well too. And so most likely I will be moving forward and doing this. I'll be spinning it and sending it in, and I'll probably do a little podcast after with the results, as long as they're not too sad or devastating. But I want to let you know, I just wanted to know what you guys think. Have you done this in the past? Are you using it? Would you consider using it? How do you feel about the privacy concerns, the risks associated with it? Is it worth it? Is it not? Honestly, don't know. I don't know the answer to that question yet. So I guess we'll see when I get the results back. And it's going to be an interesting experiment anyway. So I think that's all I got today. I just wanted to talk about that. And I think it's something really, really, really odd to look at. And as we continue moving forward, we're hearing about, you know, gene splicing, all this different kind of stuff. And we have a possibility for an odd future here. And I think this might be contributing to it somewhat. So that's all for me. Thank you so much for watching, for listening, whatever you're doing. And have a great day. Thank you.